Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 748, and we're recording it on Thursday, April 17th, 2025. And this year, that Thursday is Holy or Maundy Thursday. Happy maybe Maundy Thursday. I'm not sure what the appropriate salutation is, Sally, but welcome to Holy Thursday.
Happy Maundy Thursday to you, Martin. I think it is a happy day. Jesus gave us our connection to him and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today. So this is a wonderful day to participate in the Lord's Supper. That's what we'll be doing at church tonight, is having communion and remembering Jesus in the upper room. So
obviously mid-Holy Week, be off tomorrow celebrating or commemorating or experiencing Good Friday, and then obviously Sunday's the highlight of the church year. We're going to do a show, though, as I mentioned, 748 episodes. We're creeping up on that 750 number. I don't know if we'll do something special for that, but that seems like a milestone. I'm kind of excited about this episode. We are in the habit of trying to find great people in ministry doing things with technology in different kinds of ways. And I think we have another winner.
Jackpot, that's right.
We convinced Lori Elke, who is an art educator, pastor's wife, and teacher, from Onalaska, Wisconsin, to join us and talk to us not only about her art career and her educating, but some of the tools that she uses, which I think is of interest to many of us, and how to get the word out and how to use the tools that God has provided to share some cool things with the world. So I know my wife is a big fan of Lori Elke, uses her stuff as an art teacher. Great resources. Maybe a lot of our listeners are familiar with her work as well. So probably long overdue that we had her on the show, Sally.
Yeah, and just a wonderful conversation that she shared with us. So looking forward to that interview. I bet you have it ready to play right now.
Let's go. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Wells Tech. And for our interview this week, we are very excited to have Wells art educator Lori Elke from Onalaska, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Oh, we're really excited to have you. You in some circles, you are a celebrity, so it's kind of fun for us. So that's pretty cool. Not everybody obviously knows you, so why don't you introduce yourself, a little bit of your background, kind of the Reader's Digest version of family, ministry, hobbies, that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, and I grew up in southern warm places like Memphis and Phoenix and Miami. But I went to college at Martin Luther College, majoring in Spanish, and I took a semester off to do art in Florence, Italy. So that's my formal art training. Since then, I married a pastor, Brett Elke, and he's moved us a couple places too. I have taught in, I think it's like six or seven schools now, ranging from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade in art and Spanish. So those are my two loves. My current situation is that I am teaching right now this year, kindergarten through fourth grade art and high school art for the two schools in Onalaska. But next year, I will be just high school art and Spanish. So that'll change. a little bit. Outside of teaching for the Lutheran schools, I also teach adult classes in my home studio. And then I teach for a company called Painting to Go, kind of like the canvas parties that people can do at their homes. And then have started a YouTube channel. So I teach on YouTube as well.
Wow. Busy lady.
Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of fun to have my eggs in lots of baskets. And I really like the variety.
That's exciting. So someone interested in art landed in Florence, Italy, and now you're teaching on YouTube to who knows how many people. How did that path kind of play out for you in your life as God worked those things?
Well, I had the passion for art. I thought it would be fun to videotape my process, and I had tried it a couple times, but then this thing called COVID hit. And it was March 16th, was the day that the school shut down. And they said, we'll be closed for 2 weeks. And I was like, well, this would be a great time to have my kids. I had four little children at home. Like, let's make some videos. And my kids were dying to be YouTube famous. They had seen like Dude Perfect and all of the videos like that. And I said, well, I'm not good at trick shots, but I can do art. So maybe if you guys make some art videos with me, we can put them on YouTube. And we did it kind of as a fun thing to keep us entertained when we were stuck at home. We would make like 4 or 5 videos a day because I had four kids. So like each kid could do a video with me and they took about 15, 20 minutes. We put them on YouTube, you know, shared them with some of the other kids at school. And it wasn't until a few weeks in when we kind of realized like this shutdown thing is going to last a while. And I started thinking, hey, I could use these videos to replace my teaching, right? I can send them to my students and say, this is your lesson for today. And so I started doing that more and more. And then this group on Facebook started for Wells teachers during COVID. And I said, you know, maybe they could use some of these videos too. So I started sharing them with other teachers and the feedback was just great. There were so many people that were really excited about it. And it's just really grown and kind of exploded from there. So we're 5 years in now. And I just looked, I have over, I think it was like 560 videos that we've made. And we have like 11,000 subscribers to the channel. And it is the neatest thing now. When I go to like a Wells conference, I run into people all the time that we use your videos. We're so happy that you make them. Our classes love them. And so getting that positive feedback has, you know, kind of kept me going. And in my own classroom too, it's really nice. I actually use my own videos because then, you know, my demonstration is on the big screen and the kids can all see, and then I can be going around and checking that they're actually doing it the right way. So it's become quite the useful tool in my own ministry as well.
So talk to us a little bit. This is, most of our listeners are interested in technology, obviously. Talk to us a little bit about some of the technical maybe challenges you had in doing something that's very visual and, you know, maybe lots of different nuances to it, lighting and all that kind of stuff, and how you were able to produce a quality product over time.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there's always room to grow in that field. When I started off, I had no clue what I was doing. And that was kind of a scary thing to just, you know, I think I had my phone like set on some books and weighed down, you know, trying to hold it over what I was doing so that that would work. And then of course I invested in a phone holder and then I realized my lighting was terrible. So then I invested in a light and I still feel like it's a work in progress always. Trying to figure out the best editing too. When I started off, I just used this app for editing. I don't even remember what it was called and it worked for a while, but then I switched to the iPhone and now I take the videos just on my iPhone. I use the Apple editing that comes with my computer to edit the videos. And, you know, there's also all of like the music and the sound quality. I've tried different microphones that were like I ended up just giving up on microphones completely because I kept having issues with those. And so it's definitely been a challenge trying to figure all of that out. And, you know, watched a lot of YouTube videos myself on the best way to do things. But I found that just keeping it simple and using just my phone and computer, and then I have like a ring light with a phone holder now that can just go over, you know, my work area. That's worked really well. Another challenge I have is I record in my basement. That's where my art studio is, and that's where I have most of my space. So the lighting, I don't have natural light down here, except for maybe this tiny window behind me. So definitely the lighting is a challenge. And then my house is an open floor plan, which means you can hear everything in any part of the house. So my kids have gotten used to me saying like, everybody quiet, I'm filming, you know, or I do a lot of voiceover when no one else is home, because it's just impossible to film now without kids or dog or, you know, noise in the background.
So is there a lot of preparation for this? Do you script it, or do you just kind of turn the camera on and you do it?
I just turn it on and do it for sure. I am not a scripter at all. And I wing it, I guess you would say. And usually it works out, especially if I'm doing a voiceover, then I can do it. And then basically I'm just explaining what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty easy way to do it.
Very good. So are you ranking up there with Dude Perfect now in your kids' eyes?
Not even close, but it is pretty sweet. A lot of my younger students are like, Mrs. Elke, are you famous? And they asked me that a lot. And I was like, well, what do you consider, you know, being famous to actually be? I'm like, I've got 11,000 subscribers. So maybe if you think that's famous, then sure.
Right.
But no Dude Perfect level famous.
Well, I really enjoy your YouTube channel and also following you on Facebook, because just always seeing the new things that you're doing and also the different levels that you're doing them for. It's kind of neat that you have that younger level and older level that you're developing different artwork for. So very enjoyable. Do you have specific strategies around what you're doing or a path that you're following that you're trying to fill in different areas of artwork or whatever?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. A lot of times I'm very into like what's going on in the art world now, right? So I see what other teachers are doing that they're having successes with. And a lot of times I'll ride whatever wave is popular. And then I'm like, oh, I could make a video and we could do that too. So I do that. Another thing that I like to focus on, of course, is the religious videos. I know that there's a big need for that in our schools, and to help those art teachers out that aren't very passionate about art, you know, these teachers that are doing all of the subjects and you know, like I've even had, hey, we need a Reformation video. Can you please give us a Reformation video that we could use for this level? And so I'll take, you know, requests for certain things. And then I'm also trying to add more like art history. So that's something coming up. I want to incorporate connections to artists, even contemporary artists, but artists from the past as well, and then come up with projects relating to that to kind of tie that in. And then I've had a lot of requests for more Spanish videos, teaching art in Spanish. And so because I'm getting back into the Spanish classroom next year, that's been on my list of things to work on too. I've been recording a couple videos actually this week on different things in Spanish and then tying those two together, because that's a fun way to learn Spanish as well.
Yeah. So advice, maybe you've lived this for 5 years and kind of went down the path and figured and finally wound up on, your own YouTube channel, which has a following. Somebody wanted to do that, whether that be art or education or, you know, whatever purpose they want to use YouTube for. Any advice for them? And if they're just getting started out and they're thinking, you know, maybe YouTube is a way to go.
Yeah, I would say start now. you can learn along the way. The second thing I would say is be consistent. So especially the first like 3 years, I would do a video once a week. Like that was my goal. And sometimes it's a little bit more than that, but I was really trying to be consistent every week, try to record and publish a video. And then also know that there's no like get rich quick on YouTube. I still do not make enough money from YouTube to really earn a living or anything. I think it's like at this point, maybe $60 or $70, you know, a month, I think. It's not much. So, you know, even with all of the work I put in.
Buy a few art supplies, yeah.
Yeah, I can pay for some of my materials. So it's not a get rich quick idea. But just, you know, being consistent and connecting with people that are watching is neat too. I love reading people's comments and connecting with them. And, you know, when they get excited about doing the videos and things like that. But for me, a lot of it's just about, yeah, that connecting to other people and being able to help them out when I can. So
with 11,000 followers, I'm guessing you might have some neat connections, maybe even that includes a lot of people outside of your well circles.
Do
you have any stories around that or?
Oh gosh. Well, it's opened some doors for sure. Like I've had people who found me on YouTube and then they want like to commission me to paint something or they want me to illustrate a book for them, you know? So it's opened some doors that way. I've had, other art teachers that have, you know, that want to start like an art business of like painting parties or something. And so it's been neat to kind of like guide them through it through YouTube, you know, and just connections that we have online where they say, I'm going to do a class and I want to teach like you teach. And what do you recommend? And, you know, so that's been neat to kind of guide other people in their artistic journeys and just, other teachers, especially who have been able to kind of use it as a starting point and then kind of gone off on their own to do their own thing is definitely inspiring to see. So
very good.
So plans for the future, especially related to tools and other technologies, are you intrigued by TikTok or any of the whatever's next kinds of things?
At this point, I can only handle so much. And with,
right?
You know, four kids and pastor's wife and all these jobs, like I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself. The dream would be to have someone who really knows what they're doing, video and editing, to come and do stuff for me. But I don't know what that would look like at this point. I would say tech-wise, just to kind of pay attention to things that can make my life easier with recording and filming and editing. There's always things that are changing with like music rights and what music I can add and, you know, just the video quality. The phones like constantly are upgrading to better video and sound. And so just kind of being aware of what's going on and trying to use that to my advantage, I think is important. And then, just kind of keep on chugging away and trying to connect. I know like there's definitely an emphasis on shorts right now. So I try to throw some shorts in every once in a while just to kind of, you know, stay connected that way. But
You on Instagram? I didn't look.
I am on Instagram. Okay. Yes. So I do connect to that too.
Okay.
With Good. Pictures and videos. Yep.
Neat. Awesome. Well, it's fun to hear about how your ministry has grown, and it certainly seems like you feel it is truly a ministry, which it is, which is awesome. Exciting stuff. So we really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy mom, wife, art teacher, YouTuber life. It's fun to hear somebody making their way and just kind of doing what they love, which sounds like you're still loving it every day.
I do. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Good. Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Lori. Appreciate it.
Blessings. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Lori, thanks so much for joining us. That was everything that we expected it to be. Good stuff. It's exciting to see her success and her passion for what she does and her ability to share that in some cool ways with the technologies that are available, which weren't possible 15, 20 years ago. And she's taking advantage of that stuff. And something that came out of COVID, which is a super blessing to the rest of the Senate.
If you aren't following her YouTube page or subscribed, I should say, here's the opportunity. It's youtube.com/ElkieArt. Pretty easy to find. You can join the 11,000 plus others who follow our very own Dude Perfect, Lori Elkie. She's a star in our eyes, and her work is just so fun and encouraging and positive and many, many opportunities. It's kind of funny, Martin, because YouTube dials up stuff for you specifically, and it looks to me like she's made a playing card with a llama on it. So imagine that being the number one video that
Just the
came up
perfect
for
storm for
me.
you,
It
yes.
is. So
Excellent.
win,
One
win,
night.
win.
One thing that really impresses me about Lori, other than her just built-in, God-given abilities, is her consistency. That many videos in a fairly short period of time takes some dedication and some discipline and some stick-to-itiveness. And that's not something that we all possess, and certainly not in all areas. But I think that is one of the biggest tips she gave. If you're going to do something like this, whatever it is you're sharing, whatever wisdom you're dispensing, or tools, or podcasts, or whatever, keep it going. Start and then build and evolve it over time, but ultimately just to stick to it. And I think that's helpful in building an audience, but also helpful in honing your craft too, where it's a while it's a constant deadline, I think there's a satisfaction in looking back over the years and seeing, well, we did 748 episodes. That kind of thing is, I think, helpful to the entire process as you're trying to create and connect and all the things that are good about what she's doing and what we do too.
Yeah, it's interesting to look back. I saw a Facebook post just the other day from someone in the laser design world, and she was showing how she started. And she was like literally on her kitchen counter, painting things or whatever, and just start. Again, great advice from Lori. Just start and figure it out as you go. There's going to be different angles to it that you know haven't necessarily anticipated, and you learn and grow in those times. And I love the consistency. It's really to be commended for sure.
They say you never learn better than when you teach it, and I think that's true too, is a testament to kind of what we do here. We've kind of uncovered some stuff that we never would have if we had just kind of been heads down in kind of our day-to-day to-do lists. Here we have a chance to spread wings and talk to different people and explore, and it's kind of a neat thing. So thank you again,
Definitely.
Lori, for taking the time, and blessings on your continued ministry there. All right, let's move on to ministry resources. So we're not done with Lori yet. We're going to steal some of her stuff from ministry resources. What do we got, Sally?
Well, I just happened to come across a Facebook post since we've talked to Lori, where a congregation in our area, Peace Lutheran, which is an ELS congregation in North Mankato, hosted a painting night. And they mentioned Lori, and they mentioned a site called Painting to Go. Painting to Go, I did a little digging, and I have that up and can share on my screen as well, is a website where you can do paint parties, and you can do it in your own home. You can gather a group of people, however you want to do it. And apparently, Lori's been contributing to it for quite some time. So, if you're interested, for instance, the group in North Mankato did this painting, Wildflower Flower Meadow. I'll throw a link to that in the show notes. It's a beautiful painting. It's almost like a Bob Ross kind of experience. You can put Lori up on the screen and, watch her paint and then paint along with her. So, hopping back over to that Facebook post, they actually had photos of a group of people holding up their paintings after they were done. And they had a pretty large group. And it's really neat to see the variety of paintings that came out of the event. And they actually had a pretty professional looking setup. They had the people at tables and easels and canvases and all the paints available to them and everything. So looks like a lot of fun, a really neat way to have a fellowship event at your church. And lo and behold, Lori just announced this morning or yesterday afternoon that she has a new painting available on Painting to Go, A Swing into Spring. And it's a swing and on a tree, that's in full bloom for springtime, a beautiful painting. So if you're looking for a fun fellowship event, there's different ways you can host the Painting to Go. But one of them is just to get the video only and have the rights to project it and do it as a group event. And then they'll kind of guide you through how you could do your own virtual party that way. Other options include them sending you all the essentials, the kit with brushes and canvases and the tutorial access, obviously. And you can kind of pick and choose what you're interested in making use of. But the website is Painting to Go, spelled like Vincent Van Gogh, G-O-G-H, pretty clever, .com, Painting to Go. And kudos to Lori for being on that platform mm-hmm. as well. Looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. I can envision not just for fellowship, but maybe even a community outreach kind of thing where you're advertising to the community and, saying come in and either learn how to paint or paint with us. And now you've got an opportunity to get people on your campus. Maybe you serve some refreshments, whatever it is. That's pretty cool. Like it.
I agree. And I have a feeling our friends, Phil and Holly Wells, are involved in this effort. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Holly, especially. I think she's one of the ones that coordinated the event and looks awesome.
Okay. Good, good. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move along to our picks of the week.
And I have a pick of the week that ties into our last show, Martin, where we talked about Canva and ways that you can use Canva in a ministry setting to enhance your graphic capabilities, that kind of thing. They recently hosted what they call Canva Create, which is basically their once a year kind of product launch hoopla event. It looked like so much fun. And they even ended it with like a band and a rap and confetti and all kinds of craziness and stuff. I tuned into a bit of the live event, and they announced a lot of different things that were enhancements to Canva that are coming out. One of them is basically a spreadsheet capability. They claim it's better than Google Sheets and that you can, build in your graphics and things, your graphs, right there in their Canva sheets. Another major announcement was that they have coding built in using AI. You can tell it what kind of product or app you want to invent, prompt it using your voice or text or media, whatever feels most natural. And they'll actually write code for you right there in Canva and help you publish it as a website or whatever it may be. So lots of other cool things that came out of the Canva Create. They have a top 10 list that you can kind of peruse, but definitely check out some of these new features. I think last week when I demoed Canva, I made the background remove really easily, but now you can actually describe what kind of background you want and it'll remove what you have and plug in what you want as your background. So you can get real specific on different parts of the image you want to edit. Just lots of cool things that Canva is doing and making itself an even more valuable tool. And remember, you can get it for free, that pro level of Canva, with education or nonprofit status. So check back to our last show for some of those links and then learn about the new things that are now part of Canva.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Gets better
Perfect
and better.
Timing. Yeah, it's almost like we planned having that Canva show and then they had their show and now we're back. So.
It's cool. Almost like we did, but we didn't.
I know.
It was great they did that for us.
Divine providence. All right. Thank you, Sally. My pick of the week has also got an AI slant to it, and that is in general the concept of AI note-taking. That is one of the big wins, I believe, in the whole AI revolution, the ability to enable an AI tool. And I'm recommending a couple here. Otter AI and Firefly's AI are kind of the two big hitters in the note-taking space. But basically, what they do is they record a transcript of a meeting. And this can be an online meeting or an in-person meeting. Both of them do that pretty well. They record it, and then they are smart enough or can be made smart enough to know who's speaking by the voice. And so they're creating a meaningful transcript of so and so said this and so and so said that. But then they're applying AI to it to clean it up a little bit, to let's say if there was maybe a word that they didn't quite get, they can assume it by context and then do a summary and to-do lists, which is the best part. So let's say you've got a 2-hour council meeting and you turn your AI note-taking app on. It records all the things that were said. But then at the end of it, you have, by the time you are in your car, it has done the transcription, processed it through its AI engine, come up with a meaningful summary with bullet points, and then what were the action items that came out of the meeting. That is awesome. One of the weaknesses, I believe, in our congregations and schools is, yeah, we have a lot of meetings, but then we kind of forget about them and we actually forget really what the meaningful action items were coming out of them. So nobody's holding anybody else accountable. Projects get stuck. We tend to rehash things every time we get back together. This is truly a game changer for me. Obviously, you want to let people know that you're turning this on, but I think once they see the results, they're going to, I think, like the fact that there is somebody that's always listening and capturing all the relevant points. I asked AI to do a quick comparison between Otter AI and Firefly's AI, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. So those are the two big ones. And they have both of them have free components. Depends on your level of use whether you're going to need to upgrade to a paid version or not. The Otter AI I've been trying out, I have more experience with that than Fireflies. It's like $17 a month, which may sound expensive, but if you're in a lot of meetings and you want to kind of fully engage with the meeting and the people that you're talking to and not worry about taking notes and capturing action items, I'm thinking totally worth it. So I've got a summary, and what I've taken to doing now is obviously once the meeting's over, I get emailed the summary and so forth, go through it just to do a quick check, send it out right away, and then now I've got a built-in tool for my weekly review where I'm determining what action items need to be added to my to-do list. And I've got a summary I can read quickly before the next time we meet. So you can tell I'm a fan. These tools are very good and getting better. If you have like a Teams account or something like that, and you have Copilot, those kinds of things are built into the video conferencing tools. Google Meet has this as well. I've found that these tools and tools like them that do the local stuff are just as valuable too. So that is my pick of the week.
And if I jump to the end of the AI comparison, it seems it liked both of them for different reasons. It definitely was a toss-up in a lot of the categories that it compared. But it says Fireflies might offer a more comprehensive feature set, provide real-time transcription.
If
Provided
real
real-time
time.
transcription isn't the top priority,
Right.
Otter AI could be a simpler, effective solution if basic, accurate transcription and ease of use are paramount. So both are security compliant, it says. So depends on what your needs are, but this is a great comparison, really helpful. Glad you had your personal Jeeves draw this up for us.
Yes. So I'm a fan, as you can probably tell. We don't have any community news or feedback this week, but that is a good reminder to say, please share. If you go to wellstech.wells.net, you have all of our shows listed there. So if something intrigues you, or if you wanted to comment or ask a question, that's the place to go. We have the ability to connect with all our social networks there as well. We would encourage you to join the conversation. We would love to hear from you. Sally, I think that's going to about do it for this Holy Week edition of the Wells Tech podcast. We're going to come back in a couple weeks and talk about some other cool stuff, maybe some tools that you might use to register member or visitor visits to your congregation. Just a little tease there. So,
Sounds great.
all right. Blessings on your Lenten journey, Sally, and also to all of our listeners. We pray that you re-experience even better this time the joys of Easter as we look forward to that final time when we join our Savior in heaven. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.